Because we treasure the Word of God here at Westchester Family Church, I'd ask that you would please stand as we read our opening scripture in preparation to receive today's message from the Lord. Out of Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. The Apostle Paul said this. He says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. Father, thank you for the reading of your word, that it would bless, that it would speak as only you can make it so. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. It's an honor to be able to share the Word of God with all of you, both online, our online presence, as well as those of you that are here. And we want to say Happy Resurrection Day to you today. God is so good that He gave us His best. One of my mentors used to say often, he said, anybody who would give you Jesus would give you anything. And I echo that sentiment. Anybody who would give you Jesus would give you anything. Amen. Amen. Well, praise God. So the Apostle Paul said something there. He said, I've been crucified with Christ. Crucified with Christ. And I think about that, and I look at a semblance of a cross here. Maybe not everybody can see that. And this particular cross, one of our members years ago fashioned it, and he's a carpenter. And I look at it, and you know, it's like all the crosses that we see. It's pretty straight. It's got a straight edge. It's, you know, it's kind of perfectly symmetrical. And somehow, when we really delve into the story of Jesus, we find out that the cross that Jesus hung on was a lot more primitive than this, and it was an instrument of torture. It was not a decoration. It was not something that you would wear around your neck. It was Roman government's plan to intimidate and keep their people down by showing what they would do to anybody who crossed them. So when we think of the cross, the worldly mindset is that this is a torture symbol. That how in the world could this be the victory symbol of Christianity? How in the world could that be? And so as I was pondering today's message, and if you're taking notes, today's message is entitled, of course, the song that we sang, and that is the cross. It has to do with the cross. The cross has the final word. His cross has the final word. And as we look at that, get my notes here. As we look at that cross, I think about the suffering that it took. Most of the historians of the day would say that this was the most agonizing, torturous death. This was not just a quick death, like an electric chair or a lethal injection, or even hanging for that matter. This was a torture symbol that was designed to torture the person until they finally died. And it was not something that would be used, you would think, as a symbol of victory. And yet, the cross has the final word. It has the final word because on the cross that Jesus died on, all of mankind's sin was poured out. Now, we just heard the story straight from the scripture. If you weren't keen on one of the narration lines said, we're going to weave our story by reading scripture. Every one of those narration lines was right out of the Word of God, telling us the story, this story that has been echoing through generations past. The cross truly does have the final word. And as I ponder that and think about that, you know, I really was moved when I thought about the song. I don't know if any of you have ever heard the song, The Old Rugged Cross. Just wave your hand if you've ever heard that song, that hymn. You know, I grew up in a church that was sung regularly. Not just at Easter, it was a regular song. And so I did a little research and I found out some interesting things. The gentleman who wrote that song, he was a young evangelist. And he was trying to share Christ with some young people. And as he was trying to share Christ with some young people, they ridiculed him. And they mocked him. And he went away very discouraged because he was trying to share something so precious, so important, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And these young people just ridiculed him and just maligned him. And so he went away kind of feeling a little dejected, a little sad. His name was George Bernard. And this was right around the turn of the 1900s, around 1912, 1913. And he was doing his best to preach the gospel. And he was so discouraged, but he began to look at the cross in a new light. And he began to think about the cross in such a way as a symbol of victory. And that's what led him to pen these words. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. And as I began to read some of the words that George Bernard penned, it just kind of, once again, kind of brought the gospel back alive to me, even from when I was a kid and when the gospel just intrigued me so much that Jesus would willfully hang on a cross for me, that he would pour out his blood, he would shed his blood for me. It's a personal thing. It's not just something that we just go through and say, oh yeah, Jesus died for my sins. It's not just a religious metaphor or a religious saying that we say. This was something that legitimately happened, that Jesus willfully went on a cross. And as I was pondering this for this morning, the thought came to me that we can't have just the cross. Because if it was just the cross, it would have ended there. We've got to have the cross and the resurrection.
Yes. Amen.
And you can't have the resurrection without the cross. Amen. The two are inexplicably connected.
Yes.
In order to have a resurrection that we're celebrating today, we had to have a cross. An emblem of torture, of suffering, of shame. And I began to think about Jesus' journey as he went to the cross. And in reading the scriptures, we find that he goes to a place called Gethsemane. How many have heard of that, right?
Amen.
It was even in our presentation today. He went to a place called Gethsemane. Gethsemane was a place where they would press olives and make olive oil. It was, in fact, the word Gethsemane means press. And Jesus goes there to pray. He's pressed in his spirit. At this moment, we start to see something very interesting. Three times he asks, could this cup be passed from me? If it's not my will, but yours, God.
Yes.
It's not my will, but yours. And here we see Jesus submitting his will to the Father, knowing that in order to rescue mankind, he had to go through with this. And you say, well, was it just that he was afraid of the cross? No. That was not it. As terrible of a torture instrument that this was not what he was talking about. What he was talking about is that the wrath of God and that the entire sin of the human race was going to be poured out on him. That kind of weight. Now they say when they make olive oil that the first pressing comes out. And it's quite a laborious task. They pick the ripe olives, they put it in a special place, and they grind them down into a mash. And it's done with a huge millstone. It's done with animals and sometimes people. They just literally take this large stone and they crush the olives. We see the beginning of Jesus being crushed at this point. And the first pressing, what comes out is not olive oil that you and I use to cook. The first pressing comes out for oil that those in that century and in many parts of the world even today, they use to light their house. Wasn't it Jesus who said we were to be a light to the nations, that we would be a light to the world, to let our candle shine, so to speak, to let our light shine? Jesus was crushed so that you could have light in your life. That's why the Apostle Paul could say you were transformed from darkness into light. The second pressing, they would then press the olives one more time. It was used for healing. The salve that came out was very thick, and it was wax-like, and it was used when somebody had an open wound. It was used in infections, things of that nature. And as they continued to refine the olive oil, so the first pressing was so that you could have light. The second was so that you could have healing. That you could have healing. And the third pressing that came out was designed so that you could have soap. Something to be cleansed with. And they would make soap out of the third pressing. So when we see Jesus being stripped, we see him being crushed. We see three times he says, Father, if it's your will, let this cup pass from me. Each time we see that as a time of pressing. That the weight of mankind's sin is being poured out on him all at once. This is where we first see Jesus shedding his blood. He said, what are you talking about? Scripture tells us that he began to sweat. He began to sweat great drops of blood. Now people have argued and said, was it really blood or was it like blood? What was he saying? But there is truly a medical condition that people can, under severe stress and burden, actually sweat blood out of their pores, where the capillaries actually break and he ends up sweating blood. So this is the first time Jesus is shedding his blood. Now, just moments before, he had had a Passover meal with his disciples, and he said, this is my blood. Remember, he took the bread, and he said, this is my body, and then he said, this is my blood in the new covenant poured out for you. We see the beginning of Jesus pouring out his blood. And his sweat, has to do with our will. Has to do with our will. What Jesus did on the cross is so that you can be free. What Jesus did on the cross by sweating great drops of blood was so that you and I could be free. Now we see in the story of Jesus, not only did he go to Gethsemane, that place of pressing, where he would be pressed so that we could have light, where he would be pressed so that we could be healed, where he would be pressed so that we could be cleansed. But as he sweat, his blood was now being let out. The next thing we see is that as he's standing before Pilate, they formed a crown of thorns, and they put it on his head. And the There are seven places that Jesus shed his blood. Seven. Seven is a number that often is referred to by biblical scholars as a number of completion. So the first place was he's sweating in that place of pressing. He's sweating his blood. The second place was when they put the crown of thorns on his head, and I can imagine his brow starting to bleed at that moment. I'm not trying to be too graphic on this resurrection day, but I want us to understand you can't have resurrection without the price that was paid. And if the price was paid without a resurrection, the Apostle Paul said this, we among all men are most miserable. But because Jesus rose from the dead, we can have hope. You can have life. You can have light in your life. You can have healing in your life. You can have cleansing in your life. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The Apostle Paul said it this way. He said, he who knew no sin became sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ.
Yes.
So, when you think about your will being bowed to the Father, your will. What about those times you've been really willful? Right? He shed his blood for that. When the crown of thorns was on his head and the blood began to stream down his face, the Bible tells us that after he was whipped and beaten, most men were unrecognizable. Unrecognizable for the punishment that he took. And when we see that crown symbolizes our thought life. Those times that we've had evil thoughts. Those times that we have had sinful thoughts. Jesus' blood cleansed us from all of that junk that comes across. The enemy still works in thoughts, ideas, and suggestions. That's how he tempted Adam and Eve. That's how he tempts you and me. But Jesus shed his blood.
Thank you, Lord.
With a crown of thorns on his head. We also read in scripture that they blindfolded him and they plucked his beard out. His face bled. His face bled. So his head shed blood so that our thoughts could be God's thoughts. They also, not only did they pluck his beard out, but they punched him and asked him to prophesy, who punched you? His mouth, the third place. First place, sweat. Second place, his head. Third place, his mouth. From a beating that he didn't deserve. But he took it for you and me. What does that represent, Pastor? The unkind, horrible words that we've spoken. Jesus' blood has washed over that. The things that you wish that you never would have said, that severed that relationship. Jesus' blood cleanses that. Those thoughtless curse words that you say in just a quick moment, Jesus' blood was shed for that. The Bible tells us that he took 39 lashes. The reason why it was 39 is that most of the authorities of that day felt like 40 would kill a man. So he took 39 stripes for our healing. His blood was shed on his back to the point they said that the 39 stripes were with a whip called the cat of nine tails, which was leather with pieces of glass and metal woven into it. So that when it hit Jesus' back, it would tear his flesh. Jesus' blood was shed on his back so that you could have healing. So that you could have healing. The next place that his blood was shed was his hands. Now I want you to look at your own hands. Think about the times that your hands have done the wrong thing. Maybe hit somebody. Maybe gave somebody a bless me signal when they cut you off. And I don't mean bless me signal. Our hands, meant to heal, meant to do good, but sometimes we've gone our own way, right? Gone our own way. So his hands bled for those things that we have done. And lastly, his feet, when they drove a spike through his feet. His blood was shed for those wrong steps that you've made, the places that you should have never gone to. And nowadays, you can do that virtually, where you should have never been. Our steps going in the wrong direction. But Jesus' blood was shed so that we could be free. So this symbol of torture that Jesus shed his blood on is actually a symbol of victory because of the resurrection. That is the reason why the Apostle Paul tells us, in fact, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and verse 18. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 18. The Apostle Paul puts it this way, and this is what this message is all about today, that the cross truly has the final word. The cross has the final word. You know, I've heard some ministers almost say, well, I just want to talk about the resurrection, just the resurrection, just the resurrection. You can't have resurrection without what Jesus came to do for you and for me. And when we look at what the Apostle Paul said regarding the cross was a symbol in the worldly mindset of torture. But notice what he says in verse 18. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believed. For Jews request a sign and Greeks seek for wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. Hallelujah. To the Jews a stumbling block and to the Greeks foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. So can you say amen that the cross has the final word? As I was meditating on this and thinking about it, I'm going to ask if I can have a volunteer. Brother Adam, could you come up and assist me just for a moment? I thought, well, how does this apply to our lives?
Can hold the mic for me.
So I have some nails. Now the nails that I have, he's got to follow me, right? Yeah, he's got the hard job. The nails that I have are pretty puny nails. Those were not the nails that would have nailed our Savior. The nails that would have nailed our Savior would have been more like a spike. Very primitively made, probably rusty. But the sound would have been...
and there would have been cries and anguish, and blood would have been spilled. And as I was thinking about today and the cross that we have here, I thought, maybe we need to be reminded that his sweat when he bled was when we're willful and do the wrong thing. We want our own way. But his blood covers that.
Amen.
And then I thought about how we need to visually see this. That his head bled from the crown of thorns. Maybe you can identify with one of these issues that he died for. Mm. Maybe this is you. Then I think about the fact that his mouth bled. His back took stripes for us. Not only are we healed, not only are we healed, but how many times did we turn our back on him? How many times did we say, you know, God, I don't know if it's worth it. Maybe you can identify with some of these issues. His hands. Our hands have done wrong. His feet. We've gone the wrong place. As we look at the cross, we see that his blood was shed in each of these areas. And God wants us to know that it was so that you could be free. You could be free by offering your will up to his. You could be free by offering your thoughts up to him. You could be free by offering your mouth up to him. You can be free by offering your loyalty to him, your hands to do his work, your feet to go where he says go. And I'm telling you, God has an amazing plan for you. If you would just accept the forgiveness that he has, every one of these things is not designed. Me sharing them with you is not designed to preach sin at you or condemnation. This is freedom. When I look at this, this is freedom. Freedom. Freedom from the thoughts that have plagued you. Freedom from your willfulness that has kind of maybe driven even your family nuts. Why are they so willful? You know, why are they so strong-willed? You know, those kind of comments that where it seems like you did the wrong thing. God's solution to that was to shed the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so this morning, we're going to partake of communion. And as we do, I want you to identify yourself with something that was shared out of these places of the shedding of blood. The shedding of blood. Because God loves us so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God wants us to know that he loves us that much. He loves us that much. And so, just a moment, I'd like us to bow our heads right now. And I'd like, just for a moment, I'd like us just to have a quiet moment where we think about our own life. Thing has resonated with you that needs the blood of Jesus applied. The blood of Jesus that covers over sin. The foolishness of the cross. That there is actually victory in the cross. There is victory in that because Jesus rose from the dead, took the keys of death, hell, and the grave so that you and I can be free. With every head bowed and every eye closed in this place, I want to give you a moment that if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to give you an opportunity to do so. With every head bowed, every eye closed, I don't want to embarrass anybody, but if you would like to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'm not talking about becoming a member of this church. I'm talking about receiving Christ and having a new life, to be born again. If that's you, or you've been away from Christ and you want to come back to Him, I want you to raise your hand just so that I can acknowledge you and I can agree with you that that's what Jesus is doing. Thank you, ma'am. Hallelujah. Anybody else? I'm just looking around. You can keep your eyes closed, your head bowed. And if there's anybody that would like to recommit their life to Christ right now, just go ahead and just raise your hand. Thank you. Thank you. And let's just pray a simple prayer out loud right now. So you may take your hands down. And if you're watching online, just pray this simple prayer with us. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, you will be saved. So that's what we're going to do. So let's just all repeat after me. Say, Father God,
Father God,
I come before you in the name of Jesus. I believe
in my heart
that Jesus is the Son of God. He died for my sins. He was raised from the dead. And Lord, I receive His forgiveness. And I receive His life, His nature, His callings, His giftings in my life. Today, on Resurrection Sunday, I call Jesus my Lord and my Savior from this day forth. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The cross has the final word. Amen. Amen. Praise God.